Capitol correspondent Tim Skubick. I hope Tim doesn't get trampled in that women's rally out at the Capitol today. Tim, how are you?
Good, T. How are you?
You got
I'll have reinforcements. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
You got your battle gear on?
I don't think I'm going to need it.
No. What? I want to get your take on this story out of Grand Rapids.
That's
involved with the speaker. Tell us about it.
Ugly. It's a rare glimpse into the machinations that politicians will go to win elections. It is ugly. Representative Schmidt doesn't look good. The speaker's not far behind. These guys connived, according to the Kent County prosecutor, who is a Republican, by the way, to try to maneuver a dupe into the Democratic primary so that Schmidt, who changed parties to become a Republican, would have a shoe-in to win that seat. And they went to great lengths to do it, including the promising of money. Here's the fascinating twist on the story. They did nothing illegal, according to the prosecutor. Apparently, there is no state law against what they did. So they go on from there. The voters will obviously weigh in on this thing August 7th, as Schmidt is on the primary ballot, and the Democrats are hoping that he gets trounced, and he's hoping, after his apology yesterday, that the voters will forgive him.
Is the speaker in trouble?
Legally, no. Politically, yes. Mark Brewer was on this story like a cheap suit yesterday, calling for the speaker to resign. That's obviously not going to happen, but Brewer will try to make as much hay as he can on this puppy in hopes that it will not only cost Roy Schmidt his seat, but it might resonate with other voters in other areas to say to the Republicans and the Democrats, look at what these Republicans did. Do you want these people in control? I think it maybe is a bit of a stretch that that issue would play in Ontonagon, but it certainly will play in the Kent County area. The question is, how many votes, if any, can Brewer pick up by bashing the speaker on this?
Will the governor have a take on this?
Yeah, he wants to build a bridge to Detroit. He wants to do health care. No, he does not get his hands dirty on stuff like that. This, although he, you know, as a new student of this game, I'm sure he's watching it quite carefully.
Well, and speaking of the bridge, there have been what I've read as credible sources in separate media stories about bombing potentials of a bridge that we have in Detroit, and there are many who think this will expedite the process for another bridge from Detroit to Windsor. What's your take?
Well, the people who think that aren't thinking because Matty Maroon could care less about that. Of course, he wants to protect his bridge, but he's going to take the governor into court, and this is not going to be an expedited project no matter how many bomb threats there are. You still have to get this through the courts before any girders go in the ground. So, it was an interesting story, and the governor did take note of it and said, here's another reason why we need a second span just in case we lose the first one, boys and girls. I don't think it has any impact on the debate going on between the Maroon family and this governor.
When it comes to the health exchange for the state of Michigan, we had Randy Richardville on the program yesterday, and he said this is not a story as far as they're concerned. They dealt with this last year. It's the House Republicans that have a take. With that laugh, I know you got an inside scoop for us.
Well, yeah, Randy's whistling through the graveyard. Yeah, they passed something. The only problem was his buddies in the House didn't like it. Okay, and the speaker's still not enamored with it. I talked to a source last night. There was some speculation that there might be a vote on this thing in the House today. That's simply not going to happen. You have some people saying, let's wait until November. The speaker has not said that. I think we're going to get a timeline from him. Obviously, the governor's got some work to do among his own minions trying to pry this thing out of the House. It's in deep doo-doo right now.
School workers and their retirement programs, where are we there?
Senate has an important vote on that coming up today. They've been working on a second plan that might be more copacetic with what the House did. Somewhere, it may not be today, but somewhere down the line, they are going to change the teacher retirement system and take this to the bank. Retired teachers and current teachers will end up paying more money. That is pretty much an assured bet. The only question is, what vehicle will they be using the state to get more money to buy down what they claim is a $45 billion shortfall in the retirement fund?
All right, what else am I missing? What else will be a hot topic today?
Sounds like you covered them all, man. You didn't see my piece on M Live today about Lieutenant Governor Kelly. You go there and read it. I need a hit, okay?
Well, tell me about it.
Well, I just pointed out that this guy has been utilized by this governor more than all the other lieutenant governors put together. He's earning his paycheck. His fingerprints are on everything. And the governor's not bashful about sharing the spotlight with the lieutenant governor. Other governors were not quite as generous. After all, the lieutenant governor is the second in command. But Callie brought legislative experience. He's putting it to good use. There's some a little bit of chatter underneath the radar that maybe some of this stuff is going to his head, but it's all part of a larger story of grooming Brian Callie to become governor when and if Mr. Snyder leaves office.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.